So this morning is the last Sunday that our interns will be here, Taylor and Gavin. And I know I have been very blessed to be working with them all summer. It's been a huge load off my back. But even more than that, just their friendship and sharing this time in ministry with them outside of camp and other places is just really cool. It's very special to me that being able to watch Gavin and Taylor grow up out at camp, and you know they both went to have grown up at Southwest, but to see them come back and want to continue to serve young people, teenagers, is really cool. And more than that, their willingness to kind of step outside their comfort zone a little bit and serve here is very special to me. And I know that our teens have been very blessed by their presence all summer and their ministry. And so I'm just very thankful of that. And so this morning, please share your thanks to them and give them a hug before they both go back to college here in a week or so. But this morning, Gavin will be giving us the message this morning. In the fall, he will be a sophomore Bible major at Oklahoma Christian. Again, he and Taylor both grew up going to Southwest. And one thing I really appreciate about Gavin is that he has a heart for people on the margins. That's something we always saw a lot as he would counsel for us out at camp. And this morning he's going to be sharing about what it means for Jesus to be king. So Gavin, come on up.
Good morning, church. Before I even get into the sermon, I have a lot of thank yous that I need to give right now. Because Taylor and I, we've been very, very blessed to intern here. This blessing that Kyle was talking about, it's more than one way. Every time that me and Taylor left from a youth group thing, we would always debrief and say, you know, what did we like or what could we do better? And every time, we felt so filled. So thank you so much to everyone that has invested time in us here at the Newburgh Church of Christ. And also, I want to give a shout-out to the youth group kids. I don't know if you guys know this, and I really hope you guys do, but you guys have a wonderful youth group. These kids are hungry. They're hungry for love, and they're hungry for knowledge. Whether it be Alec asking questions to me and Kyle about the scripture, he's hungry, and he's ready to serve. And I know that Holly, I've known Holly for a really, really long time. Holly loves people. And if you don't know Holly, you really need to get to know Holly. Don't take your youth group for granted. Don't take your youth group for granted. It is very beautiful. And last thing that I want to say before I get into my sermon is you guys have a really, really fantastic, beautiful church here. And I really hope that you guys can go out and share this, because I truly believe that if people come to know Christ, people come to know Newburgh Church of Christ, the world would be a much better place. So thank you so much for having me and Taylor. We really appreciate it. So I have a question for you guys this morning. Is Jesus your king? Yes? Awesome. Cool. All right. So in the verse, Pilate, it kind of proclaims it. Pilate in the reading that we just did kind of says, so you are the king. And in other verses, it says it kind of more as a question. Pilate kind of says, so you're the king? And Pilate and all his people were kind of blown away by this, that Jesus was a king. Because Jesus was not the stereotypical king that we all think of. We have these kind of pictures of kings, and they don't really fit Jesus' description. The first thing that people usually think of when they think of kings... Oh, my bad. Shuffling it in. Oh, there we go. Okay, so the first thing is that we typically think that kings are rich. Kings have, you know, these large castles, these really big estates. Kings have come from really wealthy families. They're really, really well off. Kind of the rain kind of falls into their lap. And, you know, they have the best clothes in the world. They're very, very fly. Think Nike Jordans. Think Gucci. Think Rolex watches. And also the other thing is they overeat and drink. We think of kings and we think of them and on the round table, and there's all this food and there's all this, this wine, and they're just very, very wealthy. And the second thing is that kings have power over people physically. We think of kings and we think of, you know, women just kind of hanging around these kings and, you know, swooning over kings, and these kings are like, known for me. And then we think of servants. We think of servants, and they have many, many servants that serve them, that are in their power. The other thing is that kings take lives. And what I mean by this is that kings create and lead war. They kill, they take lives. They're not afraid to do that. And here's another thing, is that kings never let their enemies take their lives. Typically, if the king lets a person take their lives, they're typically considered a bad king, a weak king. Now, I want to focus on our king. That's the reason that we're all here today, I assume, is that we want to talk about Jesus. We want to talk about our king. So, let's compare Jesus to these other kings that we've been talking about. So Jesus, was he rich? Well, Jesus was not really, really rich. He was homeless. He was a wanderer. He had some people invite him into his house, but he didn't really have a house. In fact, in Matthew 8:20, it says, Jesus says, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man," which is Jesus, "has no place to rest his head." So no home, okay? Second thing was that Jesus was born in a stable for animals. We think of kings, and we think of kings being born in these really beautiful places, but Jesus was born in a stable. In verse Luke 2:7, it says that Mary, Jesus' mom, gave birth to her firstborn, a son, Jesus. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And keep in mind, what a stable is a place where horses and animals stay when they're not active and outside. So, you know, they eat there, they poop there, they sleep there, they smell up the place. It's a gross place to be if you've never been in a stable before. Okay. Now, Jesus wasn't the most fashionable guy. In John 19:23, it says, "When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. The garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom." So we have this picture of Jesus where he's not, you know, in purple robes. He doesn't have a golden crown on his head. He is not by any means rich. And Jesus, instead of holding all the food for himself, because he could have had as much food as he wanted, he actually gave food out. And we see this in Matthew 14:19-21. "Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children." 5,000 people he fed, 5,000 people. But he could have had that food all for himself, but he didn't. He gave that out. So, Jesus really didn't have physical power over people. And what I mean by this was that, you know, Jesus didn't have a wife. He didn't have a queen. He didn't have a girlfriend. And some of his followers, which I guess you can kind of correlate to servants if you want, but he really called them friends. He really made sure to call them friends, disciples. You know, he really didn't have any power over them, really. He never really, if they wanted to go, they could go. In fact, actually, one of his friends actually gave him up for money. But, you know, you guys all know that. The other thing is that Jesus did not take lives. He never led wars. Never led wars. He didn't see that as a way of going through things. Instead, he gave life, which was really, really bizarre. But he gave life. And the other thing, this is the unfortunate part, was that his enemies did kill him. If you don't know the story of the crucifixion, I urge you to read it because it is brutal. But in short, what happened in the crucifixion, his enemies killed him. And what happened was Jesus was stripped bare. He was naked. He was tortured. He was whipped. A crown of thorns stuck on his scalp. He was mocked. He carried his own cross, hung from his cross from nails in his hands and feet, and he died with criminals. And all this happened in front of his mother, too. Not to mention that. It is the most humiliating and painful death that a king or anyone really could have. During Jesus' crucifixion, according to John 19:3, people in the crowd were mocking Jesus by calling out, you know, "Hail the King of the Jews." And this was funny. This was really, really funny. And people were slapping him and people were laughing. And we're left with this question, why? Why were they laughing? What was so funny about that, about killing somebody? Well, the thing is, and this is what I want to get to today, is that Jesus was the opposite of your typical king. And that is why it was so funny and so bizarre that a king who called himself a king would get crucified by people. But here's the thing. We don't compare Jesus to other kings. Because Jesus' missions were not what other kings' missions were. Kings' missions were to conquer and gain more wealth and gain more things. But Jesus really wasn't concerned about things. He was concerned about you. He was concerned about people. He wanted to win you over. By being the opposite of a typical king, he was the best king. Jesus showed we don't need lots of things like money, big homes, and have power over people, or to have war, or to have power. What we needed God. That's what we needed. And Jesus gave everything he had to us and to God. And every stereotypical king had lots of stuff to be proud of. But in the end, their material things just disappeared, just went away. But this thing that Jesus gives us today, this morning, and for the rest of our lives is eternal life. He is giving us a life that will never disappear. And yes, his enemies killed him, but here's the thing is that he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and even though despite our best efforts to kill him and separate ourselves from Jesus, he came back. Death could not hold him. And just like Jesus being raised from God, God will never let us die. Never. This life has something amazing for us. We can't even comprehend it yet. We have yet to even see what heaven is like and what that will be. And I'm so excited. Folks, if you're looking for a church home, this is your first time in Newburgh, look no further. This is the place that you want to be. This is a place where God dwells. This is a place where you will be filled. And the Spirit of God is here, very much here. Guys, let's stand and worship our King as we stand and sing.
As I was reflecting on what Gavin was going to share, the image of a crown of thorns kept popping up, you know, especially as Gavin talked about how Jesus was not a typical king. So at his crucifixion, again, kind of out of mockery, they make this crown of thorns just to add insult to injury. But I think it's also a powerful symbol that Jesus was not a typical earthly king. He wears this crown of thorns, and although like it's not the most popular image that we're drawn to, I mean, probably the cross, right, is one of the more popular images that remind us of Jesus and his death. But the crown of thorns, I think, is fitting today to think about Jesus as the king who's willing to endure suffering out of his love. And Jesus shows through his life and his death and his resurrection that he is a king who's worthy of being followed. If you study history at all, you notice that there's really not a lot of kings or rulers that are really worthy of being followed. There's a lot of bad ones out there. But Jesus completely flips everything upside down. And so our charge this morning, as we reflect on who Jesus is as our king, is to think about, as his followers, reflecting who our king is. So Jesus as our king is not one who, as Gavin says, you know, is rich or hoards wealth or exercises power over people in a way that's oppressive or takes life, but we give life. We suffer for others. We serve, and above all, we show the love that our King has for everyone. And so as we go about our week, I hope that you feel challenged to think about, Jesus is my King, so what does that say about who I am as his follower and how I live this week and in my entire life? So I hope that you'll carry this idea of who Jesus is as a good king with you this week. Let's stand as we sing.